Strap yourself in, because we're set up, switched on, and ready to go.
Yes, sir. Reading you loud and clear. Clear. The clock has started.
Five, 5, 4, 4, 3, 3, 2, 2, 1.
Tuned in to this week's episode of our podcast. Today, we are going to interview some of the greatest and most influential minds in our field. By sharing our collective expertise, we will show you how to harness, control, and use your own skill set to achieve ultimate success and live the life you want. And now, please welcome your host.
Welcome to this week's Smallest Cast podcast. I'm your host, Just Nate, and this podcast is designed for small government contractors, service providers, and manufacturers as part of the government contractor ecosystem, connecting people, organizations, and resources. This week, Dennis Cater is here. Welcome, Dennis.
Thanks, Nate.
Dennis, we are out of the office, and we are downtown Colorado Springs at our favorite place, Catalyst Campus. So it's kind of nice to do something in person again.
I try to train you. I do every week try to train you to say things. Catalyst Campus for Technology and Innovation.
Okay. Sorry.
CCTI.
Okay. Catalyst Campus for Technology and Innovation.
CCTI.
Come join us. Have some fun.
And actually, we are live, which I'm really excited about. And we talk about how we want to do the podcast, sitting around having cups of coffee. And we're actually doing that today.
And I'm trying to teach this guy. We're not live. He doesn't know technology. So we're going to get introducing.
We're live, but we're being recorded later.
We are in person. We're recording this in person. So, okay. Today in the room here, we're sitting around a big, massive table. So we have at least 24 feet between us.
That's right. And we don't look at each other either.
We don't.
No.
Well, this is 24 feet, right? I mean, this here is like 12 inches.
Yep.
Okay. So we've got Patrick. We've got Patrick Barrow, the CEO. Patrick Barrett. I get everybody's name wrong. So, okay. We got Patrick Barrett, the CEO of Catalyst Campus for Technology and Innovation. Welcome, Patrick.
Yeah, thanks, Nate. Thanks, Dennis. It's great to be here today.
Yes.
At your own place.
It's great to be. Yeah, there you go.
But this is good. No, seriously, we haven't had any in person probably for like a month now. At least they've all been call-ins. This is nice.
Very nice.
And we haven't, you're going to introduce Rich.
Yes.
We haven't seen Rich since June.
Yes. And here we have Rich Birchfield.
Your close friend.
Rich.
The executive director of the Catalyst Campus for Technology and Innovation. Welcome, Rich.
Thanks. And it's great to have you guys back in person.
Yeah, thanks.
So Dennis makes fun of me because I always, for some reason, have problems with names as soon as the mic goes red. I remember I was here after we did the podcast, I think it was last time here, Rich. And I don't know if you remember, I came over and said, I just made the weirdest mistake because I actually put Nate, what was it?
It's like a name tag.
Name tags.
I think that was.
I think I put Nate Birchfield because I was thinking about you.
No, I think you did. Yeah, it was all messed up.
And the team out in the conference room was like, Nate, your last name's not Birchfield. I'm like, hey, yeah, that's right. My last name's not Birchfield.
But, nice.
I think Patrick is even there. So I think that's where you and I first met, Patrick, is probably at these events.
Yeah, absolutely, Nate. I actually spent 23 and a half years at Lockheed Martin. Absolutely loved that opportunity and spent quite a bit of time over my last 2 years at Lockheed here at the Catalyst Campus, helping get Lockheed involved in the ecosystem and what's happening here. And through that experience, I ended up honestly falling in love with this place and ended up joining here back in November.
Nice. Well, welcome to the team here.
Yeah, thank you.
So did you have an office here or are you just down here a lot or did Lockheed, were you here like physically?
Yeah, so I was down here quite often and Lockheed ended up leasing some space, and they're going to be revealing their big plans here in the near future for their expansion here onto the campus.
Nice. Okay. Yeah.
So Rich, what's new with you, man? I haven't called you lately, which doesn't really matter because usually when I do, I don't get an answer.
Well, that hurts.
You're so that's busy so down here.
The fact you said that out loud, everyone who sends me an email is going to say, yep, that's me too. As Patrick will attest, I mean, we've never been busier. You know, with the expansion that we're going to literally go at some point coast to coast, University of Maryland coming up, which, you know, Patrick and I will talk about. You know, what we found over the last year, bottom line, is the ecosystem is thriving. What's cool today, Patrick, is that the vibe is back, baby. We are absolutely packed here today. Everyone, you know, acknowledging the social distancing and all that, but from Space Camp, bringing in their new leadership to the accelerator, running a different engagement program with folks from around town to get their ideas of what it could look like as we move forward. I mean, Patrick and I look at each other. It's like, man, this is nuts. It's triple bookings. What's cool is it's the vibe. You know, you guys have been a part of it for a long time,
right?
You know, as Patrick was before he came on board. And it's wicked cool to feel it again. We just got to get our legs underneath us again to keep up with this kind of pace. But it's incredibly exciting, like today.
Oh, and we've got some ideas too, I think. We want to become more part of that vibe. So we'll talk off mic for some of those things. But
very cool.
I think the COVID has really re-energized a lot of things. And I think the people want to get back together. We're getting calls too all the time. When are we having a smalls meeting? When we're doing this? And we're like, well, we're holding off still for a little bit. But there's just this hunger right now. And I think people want to kickstart the economy too. So there's that other piece to it as well that let's go.
Yeah. Well, it's been nice that
it's kind of a break.
I like the one good thing I think COVID has done is it's driven, especially the government customers, to the ideology that you can get work done no matter where you are, right? You don't have to be butts in seats in the middle of Peterson Air Force Base or Schriever Air Force Base necessarily to get anything done. And to me, I think it's a good thing. Now, the pendulum, I have a feeling, is going to swing, right? Because commercial real estate is going to go down, everything else. But I also see that some people are like, I want to work for, we're trying to hire people right now. And for some software programmers, and I'm looking at, when I'm talking to them, they're like, well, do I have to be in person? I'm like, well, yeah. I mean, we're in person right now. It's a brand new program. We have to stand I need help building furniture for this type of thing, right? So it's going to be everything from ground up.
Yeah.
And I want that, right? It's great to be able to have the capability of working remote if you need to, but I think that you lose a massive amount of energy by not being together in the same room. I don't know. Do you guys agree with that scene here on campus?
Yeah. I mean, one of the amazing things about Catalyst Campus and the ecosystem that's been created here over the last several years is even though COVID occurred and a lot of folks stopped going into the office, at the end of the day, that ecosystem kept thriving because those people continued working together. If they were at home in an apartment, if they, you know, happened to be at a vacation home somewhere on the other end of the country, working from there, they were still working with the same folks they were working with here in person.
See, and apparently the four of us haven't caught on either about this remote working thing. Cause one of the guys at work was like, well, I'm going to be in Florida next week. I'll work from there. I'm like, wait, why am I still coming to the office? Why aren't I doing that?
That's exactly it.
We get to, I don't know.
We could do the podcast remote.
You can, but it's not the same. It's not nearly the same.
No. Yeah. But there's obviously something missing when you're, you know, sitting at home and trying to keep up with Zoom calls and Microsoft Teams calls. What's really amazing is the power of those collisions, those collisions that occur in the hallways where you may have somebody who just happened to come down here for some type of a meeting. I'll give you an example. So today, Sue Payton was here, the Honorable Sue Payton. She was helping film our new video that we're going to be putting out here in a couple of weeks that we're very excited about. And she was just filming a little soundbite. And I ran into her, and she hadn't been down here for a while, showed her around, and we went upstairs, NORAD Northcom, J6, Colonel Ross Morell was working up there, introduced her to Ross, and you know, they really just hit it off, and they had a whole bunch of ideas on ways that they could continue working together.
That's the key there, right?
It is.
And that wouldn't have happened in a Zoom call, because at the end of the Zoom call, you hit end and, yep, and you're off.
Yeah.
So, okay. So now you guys kind of both hit on this a little bit. I need to understand what's going on with the Space Camp. Rich, you mentioned new leadership. I think Dennis and I were down here a week ago and they referred to it as Platform One. So is it still called Space Camp, or is it moving to 100% Platform One? It kind of explains to us.
I can probably help address that. So Platform One is really a software infrastructure. It's a platform for software development. Space Camp is using Platform One's platform for developing applications specific for space. Just like the Navy will be using Platform One as their standard tech stack and infrastructure for developing applications for their programs as well.
So my concern, and I think I've voiced this before, once things like that start happening, and I think we saw this with Kessel Run as well, same type of thing, once they start putting more stringent restrictions, and they'll call them, it's the platform. It's our CICD, right? It's our pipeline of how we're going to run things. I'm concerned that it's going to take away from how quick things can get done. It's not like it was when Space Camp very first started and they said, here's a pile of money, go get me something that works in 2 weeks. I think that process is going to get lengthened. I don't know.
I really don't see it that way. Okay. I believe it's actually going to help speed things up, because now, the analogy that I like to use is if you're in the business of building cars, you would establish a factory for building cars, and you'd be able to build, you know, whatever standard cars that you build there. Well, if a customer comes in and says, hey, I want to build a new type of a car, you're not going to build a new factory to build that car and manufacture that car. What you're going to do is you're going to retool your factory so that you can build that car, and you can retool it very quickly. In this case, what we're talking about is a software factory. So that software factory can simply be retooled by deploying different containers from the Iron Bank that have already been accredited, achieved the continuous ATO, and then they can be deployed. And then the differentiator comes from industry at the application level and not at the infrastructure level that both Cloud One and Platform One help provide.
So does that limit them, the industry, to what tools that they can use to develop with then?
No, it really doesn't. It doesn't because everything is moving towards more of an open source model.
Nice. Well, thank you for clearing some of that up, because like I said, I was very, very confused on, because I keep hearing Platform One, and then I'm like, well, who developed Platform One? I have no clue. Was it Space Camp? Or I think Platform One is something much bigger, right? It's
nationwide. So think of Platform One as that factory, that software factory infrastructure that's being used by Space Camp, that's being used by
DOD, right?
Many of the other DOD organic software factories that are proliferating, you know, across the country.
It's going to be taking place of other application platforms like DI2E, right? And those are some that are out there right now. It's the same type of thing. It's what houses Jira, Confluence, your GitLab, all that kind of stuff. So we're seeing a move afoot to do that right now. Matter of fact, some of our customers that we work with right now are moving to Platform One, which brings a whole new list of how-tos, right? Because do you need a CAC now? Do you need XYZ? And so it's even tough right now. We're seeing on our customers it's all new, trying to learn how to get into that. So,
yeah, and I think, you know, what's really exciting is that Platform One originated here at the Catalyst campus. And you know, that's pretty amazing. So the roots are here. As Platform One continues to build and grow, they've taken more of a virtual stance, but there's still ties here to the campus. And as we're expanding into Maryland, which we'll get into probably here shortly.
Well, you're already leading into it, but we'll get there, yes.
Okay. they're also bringing in Platform One.
Well, so Platform One, what was I trying to say?
I don't know what you're trying to say.
I completely lost it. So is it a contractor that developed it, or was it developed from a nonprofit organization, a Blue Suit organization? I mean, what was it developed it?
No, it was more of a realization that a standardized tech stack was really most advantageous to achieve a continuous ATO. And by coming up with a model for that and standardizing it, but still providing flexibility, you know, the government in concert with many different small businesses have really enabled Platform One to be what it is today.
Cool.
So you already hit on it, and you guys kind of went down the Platform One rabbit hole with Nate. But so you're talking about expansion. There's a lot of stuff happening here. There's a lot of events. I know we were here last week and there was stuff going on. And so kind of tell us about that. What's happening at Catalyst Campus?
Yeah. So I can, I'll touch upon it, but then Rich can fill in some gaps. And we do have
Rich is just over there smiling. He doesn't have his little tooth thing on. He's
that's right.
Rubbing his teeth and smiling.
So we do have an expansion in the Utah area. I can't actually give you details about that today because we're still working through some of the details of that. But we can talk Maryland and we can talk a little bit about Colorado Springs.
So there's other areas too you guys are looking at, right? Not just Maryland.
Coast to coast.
That's the new thing.
Our vision is to be in 6 to 10 locations in the next 5 years.
Doing the same thing you're doing here?
Not necessarily doing exactly the same thing that we're doing here, but what we see is the opportunity to expand the ecosystem and the best things that we're doing here in Colorado, take that as a template, a blueprint, bring that into these other markets, closer to operators, closer to other customers, and then tailor it based upon their needs and their requirements and the weapon systems and systems that they're supporting. So that's really the model that we see. And it's more of a hub and spoke model where we can maintain a presence of infrastructure here in Colorado that can support all the other locations. And then we can achieve economies of scale as we support those other locations from Colorado. So it doesn't require us to take and bring all of the labor and personnel that we have here and replicate that at every site. We can do quite a bit of that work remote and ultimately save our customers money.
Hmm. So there's Maryland, obviously.
Yeah.
And so there's College Park, is that what you said? That's where it's going?
Yeah, so College Park, and we a pretty exciting milestone for us. We just hired our first Maryland-based employee, Jim Spiridopoulos. If you happen to see him, please tell him hello. He just started with us last Wednesday out in Maryland, and we have a couple of visitors coming out there next week and the week after that we're prepping for right now, getting all the pairing stations in place, all of the furniture, the literally every detail down to the kitchen. There's a kegerator with local beer from a brewery there. In College Park.
We always joke about it. We need one of those.
Who is joking? When I talk to the boss, I'm like, as we build our software team, I want a kegerator.
Because they're like, oh, apparently software engineers.
Funny. I'm not joking.
Software engineers can't work without beer. Is that what it is?
No, it's just software guys. I'm not a software guy.
But the vision for the location, so it's in the University of Maryland tech campus in their research park, and it's co-located with many other startup companies, many other government agencies, and it also has ties back to the University of Maryland. And the University of Maryland has is one of the UARCs currently today. You know, in the United States, there's only I believe it's 12 or 13 total UARCs, and their UARC is focused on AI and ML. That's focused on DOD and or focused for the DOD and the Intel community. So it's a pretty broad UARC, and it hopefully will provide us with some great partnering opportunities and research opportunities there locally. So we move into this new facility. We're expecting a grand opening in the April timeframe. Could slip based on COVID by a month or so, but right now April is our target. And then it's approximately 8,000 square foot facility. And in parallel, we're building out a 28,000 square foot facility that's across the parking lot. And the plan is to move in there in the January, February of 2022 timeframe. And that'll allow us to create additional partnerships, additional collaboration, bring more capabilities beyond software factory to include digital transformation. We're looking at standing up a software dojo, bringing in our accelerator program and some of our other flagship programs that are based here in Colorado.
That's what I was going to ask you. Is it kind of similar model? It's going to be accelerator, the space camp, you can call it something different, but Accelerator the, Space
the
Camp.
Forge. And then the Forge is the
Forge. Yep. And then anything else, any other programs?
It gets to what Patrick was saying is shape it to the local ecosystem. You know, where are their strengths? You know, obviously, you know, National Security Space resides pretty much in Colorado as far as that epicenter.
Right.
So we'll look at what's most prevalent out there. The nice thing is in the NCR, it's everything. Yeah. So there's a ton of opportunity, and we're going to see where that can go.
But first and foremost, you know, we're there to help partner with our customer NAVSEA as they establish that software factory.
Yep. It's pretty exciting.
I was just going to ask, do you have different customers? Because your customer here is AFRL, right?
There's multiple.
What started you guys, right? AFRL is really the one that really helped you guys stand up.
Sure. That kickstart.
Kickstart, yeah.
But SMC has a strong presence here too.
Right.
Okay.
And obviously, you know the ties between the two, so there's a lot of good handoff, a lot of good engagement between them.
Of course, I don't know what the ties will be soon. I have no clue yet.
Do we know
what SMC is going to end up?
Space Systems.
Are they going to stay under Air Force, or are they moving to Space?
SMC is going to be Space Systems Command.
Yeah, SEC. Mm-hmm. Okay. Or SSE.
So SMC 2.0 is just gone now, right? Nothing to do with it anymore.
No, they dropped the 2.0. So it's just SMC. That was a cycle they went through to kind of reinvent some of the organization, but they dropped the 2.0. It's just SMC. Yeah.
So you guys don't have an org chart, do you? Because I've been looking for one.
We don't. And we also have NIWC Pacific who just recently moved in, and very, very excited to have them here in the Colorado Springs ecosystem.
So on this, the new campuses and the expansion, you talked the missions may slightly change. It may not just be software development. It could be other things as well. Kind of open to different topics, discussions.
For sure.
Well, like a development for hardware beta stuff. You guys thought about anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, good point. I mean, yes, I mean, we are very open to bringing in, you know, different types of capabilities to support our customers. We don't want to limit those capabilities and ideas, but at the same time, we also don't want to be in a situation where we just say yes to everything if it doesn't fit within the
right. That ecosystem. It's got to be right. But you know, I hear buzzword, everything is software, software, software. But you know what? Software has to run in something. So,
so that was my next question for you guys is, what are the new kind of ideas that are out there, areas that you guys see are kind of emerging, if you will, for exploration?
Well, you know, one of the big areas, and we've been talking software, 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 but we need to be focused on digital transformation as a whole. And software is one piece of that, but we need to be looking at digital engineering and the other enabling tools that help with those digital transformations that I think many companies, both, you know, large, mid-tier, and small, are all faced with, and including the Space Force and including the DoD, they're all focused on how do they move towards a digital transformation and a shift, a big paradigm shift and culture shift.
Right, right. So what else is happening here at the local campus right now? I know you guys have a lot of stuff happening all the time. We're events tied into you guys. People that are listening may not be tied into Catalyst Campus. So tell us a little bit about what's happening.
You want to?
Actually, hold on. Before we go there, we're going to give you guys 30 seconds to think about it. We're going to go to a quick commercial break.
That's right.
When we come back, we'll get into your guys' ideas.
Sure.
This podcast is brought to you by CHAFA, the Colorado Housing and Finance Authority. Since 1974, CHAFA has strengthened Colorado by investing in community development and affordable housing. CHAFA's community development team partners with lenders across the state to offer the financing you need to grow your business. Talk to your local lender about CHAFA's Cash Collateral Support Program, which helps small and medium-sized businesses access capital that would otherwise be unavailable due to collateral shortfalls. To learn more, visit chfainfo.com.
Welcome back to this week's Smallest Cast Podcast. This week, Dennis and I are on
the road.
On the road.
On the road again.
Not too far from our building, but we are on the road. at the Catalyst Campus for Technology and Innovation, and we have Patrick Barrett, the CEO here. Welcome back, Patrick. And we have Rich Birchfield.
Not Nate Birchfield.
Not related to Nate Birchfield.
That's right.
No, not at all. So welcome back, guys. Okay, so before the break, Dennis just had asked you guys the question real quick about kind of what else is happening here.
What's happening in Colorado Springs?
Yeah, so our Catalyst Accelerator today actually held a community day where they were soliciting ideas for the new Catalyst cohort program in partnership with AFRLRV. This particular cohort is focused on it's focused on shoot, I just
you
lost,
them
I just
all.
Lost
He's
it because I was trying to do a, to
trying
to
do
trying
a
selfie.
To take a picture. Anyhow, I apologize. I apologize to our listening audience.
Yeah, it's focused on orbit servicing. And so it's in manufacturing. So it's a unique topic that we have not taken on before. But there's a great need. And today we had a large room, socially distanced room. That was
everybody's so scared nowadays.
Kind of a given. Like, were you playing with these? We're good.
Was, that was also, we had, several people that were also tied in virtually into the event, and utilized an online whiteboarding, session to collect ideas to help shape that,
the
accelerator. And that'll be starting.
It's April, right?
In the April timeframe. Yeah.
So if folks want to get involved with that, because that is a big deal here in Colorado, there's quite a few companies that are actually engaged in that, in the supply chain, et cetera. How do people find out about the accelerator?
Sure. If you go to Catalyst Campus, www.catalystcampus.org, that'll come up on our website. New website, by the way. So there you go.
It's just catalystcampus.org. It's not Catalyst Campus.
No, that's a
or
lot.
Technology and innovation.com.
No. I have no idea where you came up with that. No, just kidding.
Catalystcampus.org.
Yep. Yeah. And if you check that out, plus the Space Accelerator has a website that's been off of that.
Right.
We've also, I mean, you talk about just the vibe today, and I think this is something that as you're walking around, I mean, U.S. Space Force had two different rooms full up social distancing, you know, literally crafting U.S. Space Force doctrine with Galapagos, you know, local firm supporting Russ Tian and the gang going through some of that metamorphosis of what they're doing internally to the command. And it's cool because all of a sudden you're seeing some uniforms, you're seeing, you know, folks dressed up in their Puma tennis shoes and Levi's, and they're cranking it out together. The guys from Space Force have been up here all week out in the Harvey House. And it just goes to show you it's picking up. Upstairs on the top deck, beautiful space with a space camp. They've got new leadership with Lieutenant Colonel Viola from actually P1.
So is that always going on, space camp? Now, you guys have like space camps too, right? To bring people in to do things, or is it just kind of continuous operation up there?
Yeah, they do onboarding, right?
Yeah, yeah. So they run an open house, a virtual open house now I don't have the information in front of me on it, but
it's okay.
But they do run a virtual open house, and they're doing some various onboarding events. I can't speak to the specifics.
So,
right.
So who took that space in where they were down bottom floor?
SMC.
SMC took that spot.
Yep.
The both spots, right? Because Space Camp was kind of in both a little bit.
So you have the accelerators going on here. You got Space Camp going on here. What else going on?
As far as presence, you know, I've breaking that out, as Patrick is saying, AFRL, you've got SMDR Strat, you know, from Building 3 over at Peterson. Yep. You've got, on the SMC side, a couple different variations of activities that are running out of here. Just this past October, we had Lieutenant General Thompson, JT Thompson, down here. And he's actually kind enough to put out some correspondence on our behalf to our electeds. A huge supporter of what's going on here, and the presence of SMC is going to continue to grow.
What about I know you had that big space back there for
the R&D area?
Yes, the R&D area.
Yep, that is.
Do you notice I was pausing there? I was going to let you call it whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, it's
Is it still moving forward?
It is.
Okay.
It is, and that's.
A big space.
It is, and that's where we have our space operations center. So, you know, we talked about the Sprint Advanced Concept training that goes on. So throughout the course of the year, the Dragon Army goes through their training. Particular focus right now is on space situational awareness, as through Presidential Space Directive number 3, the Department of Defense is being tasked to hand off some of that responsibility to SSA, to Department of Commerce, with Mr. Mark Daly from DOC and his folks. The thing is, Dragon Army's training throughout the year, and it's exceptionally cool to see how commercial industry is showing what they can really bring to the fight. You don't have to be behind the restricted area, you know, one of the installations to actually show capability.
Right.
And, you know, it's folks like Cubros from Numerica to, we've got representatives from NSDC working side by side in the op center. Bottom line, they continue to deliver capability. Every quarter they run the SAC-T for a week long global, three op centers, one here, one in Canberra, Australia, and one in Normandy, France. They're just sun-synced, handing off the torch every day for a full week.
Oh, so you do 24-hour kind of ops.
Yeah, and everyone go home and, you know, wherever they live and have a good night's sleep, come back to work. But the cool thing is it's full engagement across the globe, continuous, and they're just showing, even from an allied perspective, how successful they can be and just how much information is out there that commercial can provide to help.
Now, are you guys tied into, and I'm going to put a plug in for National Cyber Center or some of these other organizations that are around here, are you guys tied into some of that stuff too that they're doing?
Sure. You know, we got really strong ties with, or in even developing them even stronger with, you know, the University of Colorado system. Mm-hmm. President Mark Kennedy, Kevin O'Neill, our own founder, and Patrick hosted President Kennedy and his staff here two Fridays ago. Great engagement.
I was going to ask about universities.
Yeah. You know, and looking for ways, whether it's an internship program or we work closely with up at Boulder, the National Security Initiative Shop with James Olson and Mike Traxler, you know, good mm-hmm. buds trying to further the mission, looking at ways how we can engage with them. And I lost my train of thought. I wouldn't go with that, but
good.
It sounded and so good.
And
in
I
the
actually
moment.
Wanted to just jump in and give a shout out to Dr. Tatiana Bailey from yes. UCCS. She just completed an economic impact study
right.
on the Catalyst campus. And we just published those results here late in the year. So in the study encompassed all of 2019. 1,193 jobs were attributable to the Catalyst campus.
Hmm.
And these jobs generated $89.3 million in labor income for workers. So very, very impressive statistics on the economic impact of what we've been able to do up until 2019. And we only continue to grow. We were talking a little bit before we got a little bit off topic about our growth pattern and growing nationally, but we're also looking at growing here in Colorado Springs, and that includes an expansion to the south of approximately 7 acres, still working on what that's going to look like, but it could potentially look like about 400,000 square feet of new space coming up.
So more a large enlarged campus. I mean, it's really a campus now, right? I mean, it really is.
It is. It is a campus. I mean, these buildings, obviously today, the six or seven buildings around us, today we would call the campus, but that's going to continue to expand here in Colorado Springs. And, you know, one of the things our owner and founder, Kevin O'Neill, you know, his vision is multiple things, but one of the visions is to really leave behind a legacy here in Colorado Springs and make a positive impact for the warfighter ultimately.
Right.
And make a difference in our national defense strategy and helping enable that national defense strategy. And we're excited to be part of that.
Well, you actually brought up, it's a win-win-win, which is my favorite saying, right? We always look for the win-win-win, which you just mentioned that a second ago. It's the local economy too. It's about economic development really, right? I mean, in the end, it's helping the nation. It's bringing all these people together, but you're also doing the local thing where we're actually doing economic development. I mean, that I think, you know, we talk about the smalls and all that. Ultimately, that is what it is. We're making an impact locally while we're supporting globally, right? I mean, really, that's what we're all doing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And the only thing I'm mad about is we came last week and the sushi truck wasn't here, so we're going to have a talk about that later, okay?
With Romeo. I think those are Thursdays.
That's yeah, we were here Thursday.
We were here.
And it's Fridays then.
They didn't show. No, didn't show. They canceled.
Yeah. And so, we didn't bring our lunch.
That's right.
Because we were going to eat here.
That's right.
But the great thing is we are in downtown Colorado Springs, yes. And there's some amazing local restaurants.
Let me get that cheese.
So for those of you who have not been to the Catalyst campus, it is the old train station, right? It's the old railroad station.
Train depot.
Just off of Pikes Peak and what's the other crossroad?
Pikes Peak and
Wasatch?
Nope. Colorado.
Colorado, Pikes Peak in Colorado. Yeah. And it's a terrific campus. And I'm sure if you came down, they would give you a tour of the place. It is an amazing facility.
It's what we do.
Yep. you know, again, if you want to come down here or sign up for any of the activities they have, it's catalystcampus.com.
Org.
Catalystcampus.org.
Yep.
And so I, again, can't highlight enough. And so, you know, we talked about economic development. The big key to this thing, I think, is one, you got the government coming down here, but two, it's the small companies, right? I mean, it's these startups that you're really looking for in a lot of ways.
Mind if I say something?
Yep. Yeah.
So it's, I think it's the resource from the smalls, excuse me, all the way up to the bigs.
Right.
And I, you know, early on, it was that idea of bridging it just for the smalls to be able to get in there and, you know, break down the barriers to entry. But I mean, look at Patrick. I mean, he was leading the effort on this innovative, you know, mind change for Lockheed and built that bridge. And what we found is we're in this agnostic environment, providing this platform for smalls, mediums, and bigs to get together. And everyone feels safe and there's an opportunity to share ideas. And where it goes from there is up to them. But those collisions that Patrick talked about too, happening all the time. But it's, you got, I think we've got to change a little bit to look at the whole resource.
The ecosystem. Yeah. That's what we like to call it. Yeah. The ecosystem.
I like it. Catchy word. It is. Innovation. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Ecosystem.
Collaboration.
TM.
That's right. You get nice. I like it.
Trademarked.
Yeah. But to make up, you know, to bring best of breed to our customers, that means we need to be looking at the traditional defense industrial base, the non-traditional defense industrial base. We need to be looking at the tier ones, the tier twos, the tier three primes that make up that traditional defense industrial base. We also need to be bringing in the academia side, different aspects of government, interagencies. They really all need to be together to help not just build products and advanced technology, but ultimately deliver those solutions to.
Well, like you said earlier, it's a spark, right? You might just get a spark from somewhere. But then the rest of them all kind of, oh, I like that idea. And then you just go from there. And it's, it's good.
Yeah. Come to the hippest kitchen in town. You bump into someone before you know it. It's a great friendship, just like for Nate and me. And before you know it, companies are getting together.
Yep.
And it's just that simple.
Yep.
I can't believe I just said that.
He said he's my friend. Happy now. I knew Rich before he was even at Catalyst Campus. I was coming to Catalyst Campus before Rich came to Catalyst Campus. Yep,
that's true.
Yeah, that's true.
I took a wrong turn or something. I don't know.
You did.
Now look at him. He's like king. Well, not quite.
No.
He's like king junior, and now Patrick's like king, man. What's going on?
So anything else you want to tell our listeners that, you know, it's your chance now to anything that we didn't cover that's kind of, you know, other than come down, come be a part of the ecosystem.
Well, and we try to get as much as your events out there as possible.
Right, we advertise a lot.
With our entire smalls community, which is now over 500. So we're going to keep doing that out there, but we want to, on the side, we're going to be working with you guys some more, trying to get, trying to help out as much as we can, so.
Yep.
Well, I certainly
share the vision.
I'm going to leave the last word with Patrick, but I just want to say thanks. It's always great to see you guys. Thanks for being the voice for the smalls. I mean, it's cool, you know, to know there's someone out there just, you know, slugging it out there for
the little guy.
Yeah, but I think that just from
you guys, the big ideas.
From your guys' experience too, though, I mean, getting back to the resource, I think you're just you're a great voice for the community, and so always great to have you down here. Yeah,
thanks,
appreciate it. Person.
We like coming down here.
Enjoy coming down.
We like coming down here for the Keganator.
we don't charge anyone except you guys. So, but I'll turn it over to Patrick kind of for a closing.
Yeah, so
I made sure you had time because I know you got to get out of here. So,
yeah, and thanks, Dennis. Thanks, Nate. Definitely appreciate you guys setting this up and taking the time to talk to us today. And you know, Rich and I are if you can't tell, I don't know if you can hear us laughing a little bit here, but we're having a blast. I mean, we're having a great time. And at the end of the day, it's really bringing together a community that's working towards a common cause. And, you know, if you're working on advancing a mission and you're part of a mission and you can see that the steps that you're taking are making a positive difference, you know, you come in every single day with a smile and you come in every single day excited to be part of it. And we're making a real difference here. And we see it every day. And we welcome the rest of the community that doesn't know about Catalyst Campus that could help make a difference and be part of this group. We would absolutely love to have you come down, have those engagements, figure out a way to plug in, and ultimately come make a positive difference for our nation and for our community. So thank you.
Yeah, Thank you guys. Thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us today.
Thanks. Good to see you.
Yeah, we can't say thanks enough. And for anybody listening out there, if you guys have trouble getting on catalystcampus.org or anything like that, or you just want to get a little more intimate with an introduction, let us know. You can always email us at justnate@thesmalls.org or smallscolorado@thesmalls.org, or you can just go to our website, thesmalls.org. So with that, I want to say thanks one last time to you guys. And till next week, this is Just Nate signing off.
Thanks for listening.
You've reached the end of another episode of the SmallsCast podcast. Connect with us at thesmalls.org. Don't forget to sign up to our newsletter to receive our free materials. See you at the next episode.